Welcome to another episode of the Courage to Be the Difference podcast. I'm Sherry Ruskus, your host and founder of the Victory Circles, where it's our pleasure to help entrepreneurs or those with an entrepreneurial mindset to reach new heights and to empower them. And this month we're working on the mastermind principle of imagination. And I am beyond delighted with our guest today, someone who I am really just talking to for the very first time right now. She is based in Queensland. Is that correct?
I'm in Warburton, which is outside Melbourne.
Okay.
Australia.
In Australia, got it. And it's Gina Bedson of a wonderful organization, Away with Clay. And I met her on Instagram. I don't know how, you know, as you meet people on Instagram. And her beautiful work came into my life. And I cannot tell you, Gina, how many times over and over again, and especially because of the time delay that we have, it's like first thing in the morning when I see your artwork. And I just, it just makes me so happy every time I see it. So Gina, welcome. And I'm so delighted to have you here today with us.
Oh, it's a joy. Thank you, Sherry, for asking me to be involved. And we did have that connection, didn't we? When you liked something and then we started following one another, and I was very inspired by the work that you do. And so, yeah, social media is fantastic.
It really is. I mean, that's the joy of it, right? Yeah. Meeting people all over the world. So I want to share right out of the bat, and I'm going to read this verbatim. Something that you posted recently that just really touched my heart. And I quote, you said, "I still feel the need to birth new work with function. Through the hand-building process, I have gained new insight into my practice and the reasons I feel so passionately about the whole notion of, as you say, creating with clay. It has been truly therapeutic process for me, with the emphasis being finding balance, accessing body and heart through the clay body, in which has become my own transformational process." Beautiful words. And I would love for you to tell us more about how this connection came to be for you. And have you always been this creative person? And how did it go from being play to work, which kind of becomes play again, right?
I think that it has always been a part of my life, not necessarily play, but always doing something creative, you know, drawing, painting, making clothes. My mother was a dressmaker, and she encouraged me to be creative, and to, you know, she would give me material and say, just, you know, make yourself something. And of course, I did. It wasn't necessarily something that you would wear, but it was just gave me a freedom that that allowed me to explore all sorts of possibilities. And then when I was about 12, my parents sent me to a summer school over the Christmas period. And I did a week of life drawing and a week of clay. And that's where, for me, I just felt this, the moment I got on the wheel, I felt this, this amazing feeling, you know, wanting to continue, wanting to pursue this. I just felt like I'd found my way home, really, in a way. And so that's when my clay journey began. And then when I was at school, I did some pottery, and then I worked on weekends for a potter. And the process just, you know, that just continued. It was I was one of those kids that just found my calling very early, I think. And talking to a lot of people, I don't meet very many people who find that that's, you know, they choose what they want to do when they're very young, and that's, you know, how their journey eventuates. But mine was very much like that. And And
do you believe that, you know, the name of our podcast is The Courage to Be the Difference. Mm. And do you believe that it took you courage to push through, you know, at any point along the way of, you know, because I think a lot of people get stopped in their creativeness in their life because they're afraid it's going against the norm. It's going against the norm.
Yes.
What is your feelings about that?
I hear that a lot, actually. You know, and I wonder whether it's something to do with personalities, because my father was very much, he wasn't really happy about me being a potter, you know, and about pursuing art as a career. He came from the old school, you know, he was a builder, and he wanted me to get what he thought was a normal job that paid well and, you know, security, all that sort of thing. And so it was very challenging for him, for me to want to go against, you know, what he thought was right for me. And he was a strong and domineering kind of forceful person. But, you know, he had a daughter who was equally strong. Reason I, you know, the more he tried to steer me in a different direction, the more determined I became. And I think that was the difference. You know, I see other people, and even in my own family, where different personalities, you know, may not be as able to, you know, may not be as determined, but I was very blindsided, you know. It was like, this is really what I want to do, and I couldn't settle at anything else, you know. So, for, you know, getting back to the idea.
And let me just ask you on that. When you couldn't settle for anything else, what would happen when you thought about settling for something else?
Well, I did try a few things, other things, and I lost interest really quickly. And then I started feeling as though there was something wrong with me, you know, that I couldn't settle for anything else. And, you know, there were all these people in the world who were doing ordinary, you know, 9-to-5 jobs. And why was it that it was so hard for me, and that I felt each day was, you know, seemed so tedious? Yeah, I did. I actually did think that it was me. It was something about me. And would I ever settle to anything? But then when I finally did find my way back to clay, you know, it was that was it. That's where I belonged, really.
And what would have been your greatest challenges bringing that to where you are today? Because, you know, from my vantage point, you live in a beautiful place. It seems that you've found your perfect home at this point, and you run your studio from there, and you, like, your world is evolved in a very good way. What have been the challenges that you've seen along the way that some of our listeners might also be facing and fearing and thinking, oh, I can't get there?
You know, it didn't start like this. You know, I started working in a bedroom at one stage. I was working in a bedroom in an apartment that I was living in. And, you know, I just put tarps down on the floor, and I was actually creating there. And there was a spiral staircase to get to my apartment. And, you know, I was carting pots up and down a spiral staircase. So, you know, what I mean is that we all start somewhere. And I was excited about being there at the time. You know, I didn't envisage that I would be here then. You know, you just keep moving forward. If you're doing something that you love or you feel passionately about, or, you know, you have a calling for, there will always be obstacles, you know, and you can't deny that there are going to be obstacles. And you also need to, I think, look at those. But at some point you need to put them aside and continue to move forward with what you love. Things will unfold. If you feel passionately about something, I absolutely believe that things will unfold. And
there will be moments where, you know, there were many moments in my life where I just thought, oh no, I can't get past this. And, but, you know, each day brings new things, and something would inspire me and I'd sort of move on. And really a lot of the time it was about keeping myself centered. Mm. So it was that self-talk, really. It was very much a personal journey, and where I have come to has been a long journey, you know, and not always an easy journey. But I always had a vision in the back of my mind about where I would like to be. And in the last few years, I started writing those things down, you know, what I would love to do, where I would love to be, the sort of place that I would love to live in. And I've been very supported in that. And, you know, supported in that with family, by family, and by my community, because I live in a small village with 3,000 people.
Wow.
About an hour and a quarter's drive from Melbourne. And it's very picturesque. It's very beautiful. And I've lived here for a long time, 16 years. So I've gotten to know the community. And so it's not been, even though I've lived in other places, I've moved a lot.
And primarily in Australia? Yes. Okay.
Yes. I've been to the States and I have traveled overseas, but I've lived in Queensland and Northern New South Wales. And then for 22 years, I lived away from Victoria, but I was actually born here and I've come home and I settled here in Yarra Valley, which is just a beautiful place to live. And very, lots of artists, lots of other creative people. But yeah, the community has very much supported the work that I do. And being a part of that community is, I think, so important, because for many years I was isolated. I was quite isolated in my practice, and it's really only been over the last 7 years that I've actually moved back out into the world. And, you know, I was working from home and I was, you know, making pots and I was selling work and all that sort of thing. But I was working, like, you know, to make my living, which I still am, but it was a different practice. I actually decided when I was 50 to go back and study, and I went and studied art therapy, which was something that I'd wanted to do for a long time. And there was never a right time to do that, because, you know, financial constraints and all that sort of thing. But I just took a leap of faith and I went and immersed myself in a full-time art therapy course. And during that process, I was able to get a job, and I hadn't worked out in the world in mainstream for so many years, I can't tell you. So that was kind of scary and daunting.
We have that in common, so I know exactly of what you speak.
Yes, yeah. So that's really interesting, Sherry, because, you know, to go back and to, it was perfect for me, really. But it also was a catalyst for a big change and shift in my life. And this teaching, living here, it's all come from that.
Beautiful. And would you say that now, because now you're actually teaching classes as well, that's a big part of what Away with Clay is, correct?
Yes. Yes.
And so you bring the art therapy into your classes?
You know, having worked in mental health for the last 6.5 years, and then I resigned at the end of last year to spend more time developing my work from home and my classes. And what I found when I bought this property, I was saying to someone only yesterday that I felt like I was living a vision that I had many years ago of having a studio and having people come together. And what I've found with my classes is that it's not just about creating with clay. That's a part of it, but it's about connecting and it's about forming friendships, people coming together. A lot of people that come through, and this was not planned, this is just how it's been, have been going through grief for losing partners, parents, children. They may have serious illnesses. Talking to people, I've discovered this through these classes, that there's a lot of people out there that have pretty, you know, difficult stories to tell. And they've found their way to my classes. And the beautiful thing that's come from that is that in their sharing during the course of the 6-week groups that I do, it's an opportunity for them with the clay work to actually feel as though they have some semblance of control over something in their life, because often outside of the space, they don't necessarily feel that they're in control. So a beautiful thing is that they've been able to come, they spend time creating, they make something really beautiful, they feel as though they want to be here, you know, they feel as though it's a bit of a, it gives them some relief from an otherwise maybe difficult or kind of chaotic set of circumstances. And this has come to my awareness a lot in the last 2 years. And I have people that continue to come to my 6-week classes, so they book in every time I'm running them. And at first I was a bit perplexed, because I thought, you know, they're not necessarily making a lot of stuff, and maybe not their skills, they're not, you know, they're not improving perhaps the way I thought that they could be. But one of the women said to me recently, she said, "Gina, I'm booking into your next group of classes." And she said, "You know, I absolutely need to be here on a Thursday. I need to be here on a Thursday. This is my therapy."
Wow.
And so that to me was very beautiful, but it also made me step back and see that, you know, not everyone is here to make pots. Many different reasons, and it was very beautiful and humbling to recognize that and to see that, you know, it's a gorgeous, and you know, they move through, they form friendships, they meet. I have a whole group of women that actually have gone from my classes and they've formed their own group. So they meet at each other's houses.
What a compliment to you that that's happening, and that you created such a space and the energy. And it's really about moving that energy, right? I think I was just having a conversation this afternoon with someone about how sometimes in therapy, you just get stuck in the therapy sessions, just, and there's no energy moving. But in a situation where you're letting your creative genius come out, even if you're not necessarily a genius, you know, that you're going to change the world with it, but you're able to use it. And I'm actually shocked with the entrepreneurs that I work with, how many people, I'll do a workshop, a marketing workshop, and I'll ask how many people in the room think they're creative. And very few people will raise their hands. And, you know, I always remind them that we as humans are born with this creative DNA, and it's whether we use it or not, it's that use it or lose it kind of situation. And when you can start moving that through, it's fantastic. So I think it's really awesome what you're doing, and I sure wish that you were closer, because I would be one of those signing up all the time. I want to ask you about some of your pots. A lot of your pots have faces on them.
Yeah.
And they are so beautiful, and they just warm your heart. How did those faces come to life?
Well, they actually emerged only last year. I mean, I always really liked doing faces, but these emerged last year, and I may have mentioned it in one of my IG posts, but my mother passed last year, and she had Parkinson's disease, and she had it for many years, and she was stage 5 and very incapacitated and struggled and suffered a lot with it. And she was 90, and it was the week after she turned 90 last August that she passed. After that, I was doing some totem poles, and these little faces began to emerge. And I actually put it down to my mum because
feel her spirit.
Yes, and prior to her passing, I felt as though she'd come to a place of peace.
Mm.
And there was, you know, it just felt to me like that the struggle had ceased in the weeks before her passing. And we had a birthday for her 90th birthday, and she was present, but she was unable to speak. She'd lost the power, the ability to speak with the Parkinson's disease, which was very sad.
Mm-hmm.
So these little faces began to emerge. And of course, the name, the Serenity Pots, which is what I call them, came about at the same time, of course, as soon as I started doing them, because I tend to sort of speak to my work and in the studio. And so, yes, these pieces came from that, and a couple of things came from that as well. But particularly that aspect of my work and the faces, and they've kind of grown now, and so I'm doing a whole series of them.
They're exquisite, and even the mandala that you have on their forehead is just so beautiful.
They're good fun. I do love making them, and I put a little video last night on Instagram, and you know, it's funny, but you know, when you're working, I think a lot of creative people feel this, when you're working and you're doing something you love, it really resonates on a very deep level with you.
You know,
so it's very much heart stuff. And I recognize now, and have only really come to this over the last few years, of, you know, I used to see my work as separate from myself. But now I actually see it as being an aspect of myself. It's not the whole of me, but it's a big part of who I am. And it's a meditation, really.
Mm.
You know, spending time in the studio, spending time doing something creative is a meditation. You know, it's that whole focus, the mind, you know, the body, physicality with clay, and just being really present. And I find that I'm not always really present in other aspects.
You know, I feel that way with gardening. When I get out to the garden, I just lose myself, right? Where did the last 4 hours go? I have no idea. And it's so funny. My son said to me yesterday, he goes, "Why don't you just hire a gardener?" I go, "Why?" You know? Why would I do that? That I would miss all the good stuff, you know.
The work that the sun's doing is really pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is, right? Yeah. And again, it's that whole idea of, you know, I'll sit, and he was just out here in Colorado. He lives in San Francisco. He was out here a few weeks ago, and we went together one day, and he did this balance up at a lake near us. And I just watch his mind working. And I was sitting up above on a bluff looking down over his work, and I thought, what is he doing? I don't get it. And then I came around to the angle that he was working at, and I was just blown away at what was being created. But it's that whole idea of having it go through you, right? That we're just vehicles, that it's just moving through us. Rollo May Wright talks a lot about that in his book. I don't know if you've ever read it, but The Courage to Create. and just that whole idea of how you get into flow and the conscious and unconscious mind are working together, and just it just becomes this beautiful flow that you don't even know. I mean, I feel that way about writing too, right?
And I actually think that I find that with writing as well. And, you know, I often feel clumsy in conversation, where I will write, you know, I can write, really express myself, because you have a little bit of time to ponder. It's not sort of so spontaneous, you know. You can, but that whole allowing, just allowing the writing to flow, the words to come. Yeah, it's very beautiful.
It's beautiful. What else would you like to share with our listeners? Perhaps someone who's struggling with this whole creative piece, you know, can't seem to ignite their imagination. What recommendation would you have for them to move forward, whether it's with clay or any other, you know, medium?
I get this a lot from people that say to me, I'm not creative, or I don't have passion for something. And that's a challenge, isn't it? I don't, but as far as creating is concerned, I think you can be creative at doing anything, you know, and I think people overlook that. They particularly hone in on art or on, you know, writing or, you know, whatever, but they don't think that they could be creative in anything that they do during the day, whether it be gardening or washing up or, you know, cleaning the house. Or I think that it's, you can be creative at any of those things. And I think it's particularly, and it's accepting and appreciating what you're good at and what you love doing, you know, and not comparing it to what somebody else is doing just because Gina's making pots and, you know, Sherry's talking, you know, to the world on her podcasts and inspiring people. You know, I think it doesn't have to be that at all. It can be something, the moment we start to compare what we do is the moment that we lose all faith in our own ability, you know. So it's, I suppose, being mindful just of that. Mm. Whatever you do, whatever you love, is really a value to you. It doesn't matter whether it's to the rest of the world, but as long as it feels good for you.
It brings you that joy, right?
Feel good, yes.
Yes, joy.
More of what you make, what makes you feel good.
Thoreau said that the world is but a canvas to the imagination. And it's really, like you're saying, finding that piece of the world that will bring you joy and bring it to you. Mm. And I, again, just want to thank you for everything that you bring from your corner of the world. And for everybody listening, Gina is, you can find her on Instagram, which you must do. It will brighten your day. It's Away with Clay. And awaywithclay.com is your website. And you also have, so do you bring in a lot of people from around the world? Where do your students come from?
My students, they come from my local area, but also they come from all over Melbourne, really, okay. Which is, so some people come from quite a way away. I also have accommodation, and I get people from all over the world that come and stay at my accommodation. And if it ties in with a workshop that I'm doing, sometimes people will book the workshop and book the accommodation at the same time. But at this stage for the classes, I usually get people from all around Melbourne, really, and from my local area. And I don't do, you know, I'm not doing it en masse. I don't do huge classes. So it's more intimate and personal. You know, I do up to maybe half a dozen students at a time.
Fantastic. So awesome. Well, I know it's on my bucket list, and I'm sure that with you.
I'll see you soon.
I am working on it, to be sure. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being with us here today. And for our listeners, this concludes another edition of the Courage to Be the Difference podcast. If you know of someone who's struggling in this area, or maybe even thriving in this area, that it might benefit, please share this podcast, and we will see you next time here on The Courage to Be the Difference.